Well, I thank the great God of heaven for another opportunity to worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm thankful to God for another opportunity to preach his inspired word that was given to his apostles. I'm thankful for each of you that are on the call on this morning. My hope is that your hearts are open and your heart is prepared to hear from God's word those things that we need from God. Thankful for all the brothers that participated thus far in our service on this morning. Thankful for Brother Tim for his taking the task of facilitating on this morning. We're thankful again for all of you. Our subject on this morning from the Word of God is as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the Word. As newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the Word. The practice of Christianity requires that the Christian possess the proper mindset or a particular way of thinking. This will be shown as we begin chapter 2 of this letter. And I want to say to those that are on the call this morning, this letter, as we've shared previously, was written to Christians. And if you're not a Christian, it's the responsibility of the preacher, myself, to share with you how one becomes a Christian. And I will do that, set aside time at the close of the message, that you will know specifically what God requires of you to become a Christian. But for those of us that are members of the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, those that are Christians, children of God, Peter wrote this letter as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so I want to first, I would like to give an overview, chapter 1, to reinforce the favor of God to the Christian as given by the Holy Spirit to the Apostle Peter. In verse 4 of chapter 1, Peter says, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that faded not away, reserved in heaven for you. The greatest achievement of any Christian is to obtain heaven when your life ends on this earth. Let me say that again. The greatest achievement of any Christian is to obtain heaven when your life ends on this earth. So Peter, as he was inspired again by the Holy Spirit, he wanted the Christian to know that there was something that was kept or preserved for you, and it was in heaven. And it's for you. And that's why Paul, turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And the verse is number 1. Paul said, for we know, he was talking to Christians, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. In other words, the tabernacle is the body for which the dwelling place of the soul will live forever. He said, for if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, if I were to die, Paul said, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul was saying to them that if we die, or when we die, We have a building of God, a house not made with hands. Christians that are familiar. Sometimes we sing heaven is on the other side. Heaven is on the other side. And we just sing that song. And it's to put our mind that heaven is on the other side when this life is over. And then a part of that song say, and if we work real hard, we'll make it on in. Heaven is on the other side. And so Peter brought in his letter, in the early parts of his letter, after he shared with them how one becomes a Christian and what they've done to become a Christian through the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, he let them know there was a place that God had called heaven, reserved. And then he said in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God, and is through faith unto salvation, is ready to be revealed in the last time. So Peter said, it is kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. And then Peter shared with them a second point. He said, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And we talked about how there are times when we are stressed because of problems in life. And then Peter says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, he said, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so we know that if our faith will be tried, our faith will be tried. As I said before in my message, there will be vicissitudes or unfavorable events that we as Christians will experience in our lives. And we need to believe and trust in Jesus to help us in those situations. Peter realized, the Holy Spirit gave it to Peter to let people know that your faith is going to be tried. Notice in John chapter 6, and the verse is number 66. John chapter 6 and verse is number 66. After Jesus was with his disciples, the Bible says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we can allow the problems and the challenges of life get to us, and we can stop walking with Jesus. Then said Jesus unto those 12 that was with him, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him. Notice, Simon talks about his faith. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Understand this. If we're going to live eternally with God, Peter acknowledges that Jesus has the words that we need regarding eternal life. And he says, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter acknowledges here that, Lord, my faith, my trust is in you. I believe and I'm sure who you are. And so in our life with the Lord, we have to understand that Christ has the words of eternal life. It's in the words of God. It's in between Genesis and Revelation where we find those words of eternal life, and those are the things that we are to lean on as we deal with life and the challenges of life. And then thirdly, Peter says, you've already obeyed once, verse number 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves or not conforming according to the former lust in your ignorance. In other words, Peter said that those things that you were doing prior to becoming a Christian, he said that we can't conform to those things. He said, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Yeah, we got to work on because conversation oftentimes in the Bible is translated behavior. He said, so be ye holy in all manner of your behavior, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We talked about how the word be in this verse simply means to become. We are to strive to become holy. And again, we said that holy by definition means the separation of the Christian from evil or bad things or bad ways. So we have to, and we'll talk about that in our text on this morning, how we are to separate ourselves from those things we brought in with us after we were water baptized. Whatever behaviors I had prior to being baptized into the Lord, I have a responsibility. We're sharing the text that understand those behaviors, those attitudes are still with me. When I am water baptized, the primary or main thing of being baptized is that I come in contact with the blood of Christ, where Christ forgives me of all my past sins. But I still got behavior that Peter talks about. And then we share from verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So Peter wanted them to always be mindful of how valuable and how important the blood of Christ is. Expository sacrifice, which means to give as a payment for sin. Christ gave his blood. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the verse is number 21. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, Paul in his letter to the Corinthians, second letter said, for he, talking about Christ, God has made him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made, notice now, the righteousness of God in him. In other words, through what Christ did for us, by paying the penalty of death for us, we became justified in the eyesight of God. We became justified. So Peter, in his writing to them, acknowledging, points out those points in there. And then verse 22 of verse chapter number 1, Peter says, seeing you have purified your soul in obeying the truth, in other words, your soul has become pure because of you obeying the gospel, the truth. He says, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Peter said, see that you love one another, with a pure heart fervently. God is concerned about the relationship that Christians have toward one another. Peter said, see that you love one another with a pure heart. He said, fervently, the heart has to be pure. So Peter here is talking about the way in which we talk to one another, the way we behave with one another, how we deal with one another. We're talking about relationships. We got to understand about relationships. And we find, go back to, let me identify in Genesis. Go back and show us God about relationships. In Genesis chapter number 4, Genesis chapter number 4, the Bible says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife. And we want to understand that the word know in here, we know the end result of the relationship was that she conceived and bare Cain first. But I want you to understand that Adam had a relationship with Eve. Relationships are very important. Adam had a relationship. Peter is talking about a relationship. Notice in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus identifies that if one does not obey the Lord and enter into the kingdom, notice what Jesus said. Even though someone, I'll start at verse 21. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Notice now, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In order to have a relationship with God, you have to be obedient to God. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? But now notice what Jesus responds, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. We never had a relationship. You never was obedient to the will of my Father. We never had a relationship. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. So what I'm showing us in the Word of God, it is a relationship that are so important to God. We have to have a relationship with God. We have to have a relationship with Christ, but we also have to have a relationship with one another. So back in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, see that. Or see to it that you love one another with a pure heart. And the word pure means clean heart. Now, this verse is the springboard into our text on this morning. This is the springboard. Peter said, unfeigned love, a sincere love of the brethren. He says, see to it that you love one another. And that your heart be pure. And then Peter, as we look at the two verses that were read on this morning, thankful to our brother reading scripture, Peter gives the prescription from the Holy Spirit of how this is accomplished. Peter says, how do I have the relationship that God desires? How do we have that relationship? Peter says, wherefore lay aside or separate yourself from separate yourself from. And we're going to look at these. He says all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking. Yeah. Peter says, in order for us to have the relationship as Christians that we should have, or God designed for us to have, he says, first he says, malice has to be separated from us. What is malice? Malice is a desire to cause harm to another person. Whenever we as Christians try to hurt somebody else, that's malice. Whenever I have a desire to want to hurt somebody, that is malice. Yeah. I have to work on myself that I don't have a desire to cause harm. And sometimes we can cause harm to a person's name. You know, sometimes we can cause harm to someone in their family. That's malice, as Peter said. He says, in all guile. Guile is dishonest behavior, speech that is meant to deceive someone. Whenever I exhibit behavior, I'm trying to deceive somebody, either in my behavior or in my speech. I say something that is dishonest. I tell someone a lie. I act in a false way. Peter says, that's the word guile. Guile. Peter says, separate yourself from that type of behavior. And he said, and hypocrisies. Yeah, hypocrisy is one who does things that they tell other people not to do. I tell people sometimes, even parentally, we'll tell our children not to do something, and we do what we're telling them not to drink. Boy, don't you ever let me see you drink. Well, do you drink? Well, don't ever let me see you. I better not see you smoke. Do you smoke? I wish I would catch you cursing. Well, the question is, do you curse? Yeah. Do you curse? And so Peter is saying to us that we as Christians, I can't tell other people not to do something, and I'm doing it myself. That is hypocritical behavior. And then he said envy. Envy. Envy is displeasure that comes when one hears of the good that comes to someone you may not care for. Whenever we as a Christian get an eerie feeling in your heart when you hear about the good of someone you may not care for, that's envy. Yeah. You know, Paul said, how do you know I've overcome envy? How do you know when there may have been someone that I may not have cared for at one time? And oftentimes that is personality conflict, or sometimes we just jealous of one another. How do I know I've overcome that? Well, I think an answer for that in Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, in verse number 15. How do I know as a Christian envy is something I've overcome when I'm able to do as Paul told the Romans to do? He says, rejoice with them that do rejoice. Whenever I have joy for the joy I hear that's happened to someone else, when I'm able to weep, when I'm able to be sorrowful because of someone else being sorrowful, when someone, something happens to someone and I'm sorry for that person because of what happened to them, I sorrow with them. I call to check on them, to let them know that I'm sorrowful about your misfortune. When something good happens to someone's child, and I call to say, I'm just so glad that he graduated from college, and I'm joyful with you. When I'm able to do that, then I've laid aside the envy that the Lord talks about. And I'm saying this because as Christians, sometimes we have ill will toward others in the body. In the body. And the thing that we may not realize is others know about it. Others can see the disparity of how we treat certain people, those that we like and those that we don't like. That's why Peter wrote this. Love one another with a pure heart. Yeah. But when we don't care for people, not only do we feel ill about them, but Peter says also, and all, notice now he says all malice, all guile, all evil speaking. What is evil speaking? Is to say false things in order to make people have a bad opinion of someone you may not care for. You know how we can be. Yeah. When I don't want someone to like somebody that I don't care for, I'll say things to someone else about someone so I want them to possess the same attitude toward the person that I don't like. I don't want you to like them. I don't want them to like them. That's evil speaking. This type of behavior, as Peter enumerated in verse 1, is what can kill relationships between Christians. Are we ever at odds with each other? Yes. Can it happen to us? Yes. But the Bible also gives us the answer to those things. And I said at the offset that Christianity requires the Christian to possess the proper mindset. The proper mindset. Notice in Ephesians 4, and the verse is number 23. Ephesians 4 and the verse is number 23. Well, I started verse 22 because Paul shares with us the consistency of what Peter is talking about. He says in verse 22 of Ephesians 4 that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. You put it off. You lay it aside, he says, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, deceitful desire. How do I change that, Peter? Paul, how do I rid myself of this? He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You got to do a mindset change. You have to reset your mind. Yeah. He says here to renew means to be spiritually converted. You have to allow the Word of God to work on your heart. But understand this as a Christian. Because we talk about Christian behavior, that if I don't care for someone, and if the Word of God, if I don't like you, if I hate you, the Word of God can't help me if my mind is where it's at. I got to renew my mind. He says, says, notice, and that, verse 24, and that ye put on. Notice now, you got to put off and put on. The behaviors we had before we had Christians, and some, for some of us, the behaviors we have even as a Christian, we have to work on ourselves to take them off. You can't walk around here hating nobody. I can't walk around here being hateful. Peter says, and that, Paul, excuse me, says, and that you put on the new man. The new man. How does the man become new? He says, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Remember I talked about holiness with Peter. Paul is saying the same thing. Peter said, true holiness is when I'm able to separate myself from those bad ways. Yeah. I'm created, I'm spiritually regenerated. I'm made anew. How do I become new? Through the Word of God. That is the only way that we will be what God expects us to be. Is, and that's what Peter said, you got to lay aside those things. So Paul says it. You got to renew your mind. If I dislike somebody, I have to renew my mind. I got to throw that away from me. I can't assemble with other Christians of my family and I don't care for that person. I got to work on me. I got to work on me. It's me that I have to work on. Well, they treat that up, but it's not about them. It's about you. Christianity also not only is a mindset, but it's also, it gives you the proper attitude. When Peter asked the Lord, Lord, how many times shall I forgive them? And he said, seven times? No. Lord, say seven times. Seven. In other words, every time a person wrong you and ask for your forgiveness, you ought to forgive them. That's the proper mindset. And some of us struggle with relationships. It's your mindset. And even in the home, husbands and wives, that's a relationship. And that ought to be outside of my relationship with Christ. That ought to be my relationship with my wife is the most important relationship. It is the most important relationship. We have to dwell well together. And I talk about that, Peter talked about that your prayers be not hindered. This is about relationship. This is about Christian living. This letter was selected because the Holy Spirit gave to Peter things to write down to the Christians that was a way they were scattered, but you still got to live as a Christian. And some of us, we say, well, I'm a Christian, yes, only in name, not in words or actions. Keep walking around here mad at somebody. I don't care for him. I don't care for her. Well, what about if Jesus didn't care for you? Yeah. Yeah. That's why Peter said, go back to Ephesians 4. That's why Peter, Paul said in that same letter. You just got to learn to keep saying with the letter. He said, verse 31 of Ephesians 4. He said, let all bitterness, all, not some, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why should I forgive another person? Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's why. That's why. As I said, the Lord has blessed me and have asked me to be a part of counseling to them, marriage counseling. For those that are members, I highlight even those that are not members, I've counseled. But I share with them the most important thing in any relationship. Let me share this. Is communication. Go back to Genesis. I shared it. Those that have sat in under my counseling, we start with this. We start with this. In Genesis chapter 11, because Peter's talking about relationship. He's talking about relationship. In Genesis chapter 11. Genesis 11, Old Testament. Let me get there myself. Yeah. Now watch this here. Genesis 11. The Bible says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to a come, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to or come, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower with the children of men built. And I want to say to all of us, understand in your relationships, in your home and otherwise, the Lord is looking down on your relationship. God is. And the Lord said, verse number 6 of Genesis 11, He said, God said this now, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. Now notice what God said about relationships when you're on the same page. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Let me say this to us. Families, husband, wife, families. You can do anything you imagine to do when you are together, if it's the will of God. You can do and accomplish anything. Notice what God said. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Now watch what God said. He said, go to or come. Let us, he's talking about the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He said, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. What I'm saying, when I'm counseling or sharing from the Word of God, what God is saying is, all we got to do is let Brother Stroud not be listening to Sister Stroud when she's trying to talk to him about something that matters regarding the family, regarding the children, or let me get beside myself and I'm trying to dominate and she not listening to me because I'm not talking to her in the right spirit. God is saying all we got to do is go down there and just make sure they ain't listening to one another, not with your ear, but with your heart. There's a difference. Your relationship, you have to learn to listen with your heart and not with your ear. With your ear hear means you hear the sound of what I hear the sound of what Sister Stroud said. But when I listen with my heart, I feel what she's saying to me. And God said, all we got to do is just make sure they're not on the same page. Yeah, they're trying to build a tower up to heaven. All we got to do is just make sure they're not listening to one another. Yeah. So I'm saying to us, relationships are important. But in order for relationships to be successful, in order for relationships to be harmonious, you have to be of one language and of one speech. Excuse me. That's Christian living. Go back to 1 Peter 2. And the verse is number 2. Peter says here, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. That's my title. As newborn babies. Peter was saying to them, and I want us to hear this, because this is how we grow. This is, and he says it right in the text, that you may grow. How do I grow, Peter? How do I grow as a Christian? How do I develop as a Christian? How do I find growth as a Christian in my walk? Peter says, understand this. As newborn baby, any newborn baby instinctively know how in need they are for their mother's milk. You don't have to send no baby to school for them to know and to have a instinctively need for their mother's milk. Peter says, now he's using newborn babies as a metaphor, because if I can understand that, then I can understand this. Peter said, all of us as Christians, just as a baby wants that milk from their mother, we ought to have a desire, a longing for, a craving. And not only it's a craving, but it's an ever recurring. I wanted it to occur over and over. You know, babies, when they want that milk, they just want that milk over and over again. And my question to us as Christians, do I have that desire? Am I possessing that desire when 3:30 comes this afternoon, when 9 o'clock came this morning? Did I have a desire to hear from the Word of God? Am I like a baby? Am I craving for the Word of God? Am I craving to hear from the inspired writer what the Word of God says? Am I desirous of that? Peter says, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk. In other words, the word sincere means it is clean and not harmful in any way. In any way. You know, when a baby takes to the mother for feeding, they know that what they're getting won't be harmful. But they have a desire, and I have to have the mindset, it doesn't matter who's preaching the Word of God, if the Word of God is rightly divided, it is clean. It is clean. Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk. And I want to say, the only spiritual food and nourishment for the soul of the Christian is the Word of God. That's it. Peter said, the sincere milk of the Word. So, Brother Stroud, if I'm one that have all this, as he said in verse 1, was all the dirt. How do I clean up the dirt in my mind? I clean up the dirt by renewing my mind with the Word of God. I have to take the Word of God and put it into practice. In relationship, I have to put it into practice. Those individuals that I don't care for, I have to extend the hand of fellowship. The hand of fellowship. It doesn't matter. For those that are interested, we've seen this in this political race that we've just concluded. Seems to be in conclusion where one has extended the hand of fellowship. It doesn't matter how the other person treats me. I am the one that's the Christian. I'm the one that God expects to extend the hand of fellowship. I am the one. Yeah. Go back to Peter, Romans chapter 12. Let me just show you the consistency of the Word of God. Romans 12, verse number 17, connects with what I'm saying. And that's how I desire to send the Word. How do I get the relationships right? When I desire the Word of God. That's how I grow and develop. Paul said in Romans 12, go back there. Verse 17, he says, recompense or pay to no man evil, evil. You cannot like a person because they don't like you as a Christian. You can't hate them because they hate you. He said, provide things honest in the sight of all men. He knows what he said. If it be possible. If it be possible. As much as lieth in you. He's saying them. As much as it lies in you, live peaceably with all men. That's Christian living. Now, if a person won't speak to you, you can't make that person speak, but you can speak to them. If it be possible. Yeah. This is about relationship, and they are formulated through the Word of God. Peter said, go back to Peter as I move to a close, that you may grow and develop. Those of us that have been in the church for years and our attitudes and our behaviors is the same. You are not growing because you are not digesting the milk is maybe going down. You know, sometimes when you feed a baby, if you're not careful, that milk will run down the side of their face and not in their mouth. The Word of God is running down the side of your face, or my face. And I'm not digesting the Word of God. The Word of God gives the Christian the power of mind to understand, to think, and to behave as God desires. How? It's through the Word of God. That's what Peter was saying. And so, as a newborn babe, I hope I have enforced what that statement means. Peter says, as a baby desires the milk, and not only that, they want that milk as often as they can until they are full. And we will never become full of the Word of God. But he was talking metaphorically, having that desire. You don't have to look for me. But I'm excited for 3:30 to come. I'm excited for 9 o'clock to come. I'm excited for Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. I'm excited. I put things aside so I can be ready to hear the Word of God, that I may grow. Now, if you're not interested in growing, but if we're going to make it to heaven, you have to grow to get to heaven. That's why Peter said it's reserved for you, but in order to, if you don't go, you can grow. You can't go to heaven. You must grow. Faith by itself won't get you to heaven. You got to grow. Peter going to talk about that in his letter, in one of his letters. Faith alone will not get a person to heaven. Not by itself. I got faith. You won't go to heaven with just faith. James tells us that. You can't just have faith. You got to have works also. You got to have works. James tells us that. James 2:24. Let me say that. I don't want to assume anyone may know where the scripture. I want my responsibility to share with you scripture. James says, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. You can have all the faith, but you got to have works and action. The word of God has to be shown in your life. Yeah. The word of God has to work on me. I have to become a better person, a better Christian, a better father, a better husband in my relationship with people. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. And if you're not a Christian, I say it at my offset. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter 3:18. How does one be born again and become a Christian, a child of God? Well, first thing you got to do, you got to hear what is called the gospel. How did Christ love you so much? And I want to say to all of us, not understand, John said God is love. How can I be like God? I don't love someone. Because the Bible said, love your enemies. Matthew 5. Do good to them that hate you. But for those that are not Christians, 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Why? Why did he do it? The word that is there, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So you find in that one verse that God loved us enough that he asked Christ to suffer on the cross for our sins. Christ did that. It was a just suffering for the unjust. And the reason for it was to bring us back. He wanted us to have a relationship with God. He wanted us to form a relationship to God. But the relationship is based on obedience. What did he do? He was put to death in the flesh in order that we can have a relationship with God, but he was made alive again by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. God wants us to have a relationship with him. God wants us to know us. Christ wants us to know us. But Christ does not know us in the sense of a relationship until we obey him and become a child of God. How do I do that? Peter said that the like figure, even verse 21, even baptism doeth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it is the answer. Or notice now, he's talking about your mind, a good conscience, a good conscience, a good attitude toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We understand that for one to become a Christian, he must hear the gospel, those three facts, that Christ died for our sins, he suffered on the cross, he died, he was buried, he rose again the third day. I must believe that. I then must repent. We talked about repentance was getting rid of that behavior I had that before I become a Christian, I got to turn toward God. That's repentance. It begins when I turn toward God. Then I make the confession of what I believe in my heart. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I am water baptized for the forgiveness of all my past sins. Then the Lord now has a relationship with me. Now I'm added to the church of Christ and that relationship. I am born. Remember this. Until a person obey God, you can't have a relationship because you are not spiritually born. And for some of us, that birth, those of us that are Christians, I just need to be converted. I need to renew my mind. I need to change my mindset. That's my message for this evening or this morning. I thank you as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. I thank you very much for your patience and your attentiveness on this morning.